Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a real-life medium? Then this is the podcast for you. In this show, you'll learn how to open your heart to spirit, hear adventures I've experienced as an award-winning psychic medium and teacher. Plus, I'm going to give you some psychic information and insight into what the future holds for our increasingly crazy world. Tune in every Friday and get ready to connect to the other side. I'm Jen, and I'll be your guide starting right now.
Welcome back to the podcast. I have been gone for quite a while. I just got back from Italy. That's right. Italy, that was one of my bucket lists. Not really a bucket list. It was on my manifestation, more specifically in my notes on my phone. And I didn't realize this, that I was even manifesting this. And I went back to my notes and I just typed in the keyword Italy. And I went down to October 2019. I wrote in my notes, I am traveling to Italy and Costa Rica so that I can write. So I didn't write, but I did get to go to Italy. And I had forgotten actually about that manifestation. And all I did was write it in my notes. There's a lot, like, this is not what this podcast episode is about, but I'm telling you, this works. Things that I have written like 8 years ago are coming true now. And I can't remember if this particular manifestation, I only wrote one time. And it wasn't like I was desperate. I mean, it took a couple, 5 years, I guess, for it to unfold. The Costa Rica one was not as long. But Italy wasn't even something that I was like, oh my God, I need to go to Italy. Whereas Costa Rica, I'm like, oh my God, I need to go to Costa Rica. And I've been 2 or 3 times now for that. But yeah, this one just sort of came to me. So a manifestation can either, you can take action on it or it can come to you. And the Italy trip came to me. It, you know how people say it landed in my lap? So I was invited to go to Italy. Yes. So this is what this episode is about. Excuse my tongue tied. I'm still a little bit jet lagged. I'm probably dehydrated. I am not sleeping. I'm sleeping okay, but then I wake up at 5 a.m. Where the first couple nights I came back after my flight, the 9-hour flight, I was wide awake at 3 a.m., which actually would have been 9 a.m. Italy time. And even my watch still says it's set to Italy time when I keep saying, but it's actually blah, blah, blah. The other night I was invited to do a speaking event for these beautiful women in Innisfil, Ontario, at Women's Wellness Circle with Debbie. And I had my watch on and I was like talking and doing my thing and, you know, talking about quantum mediumship and had to manifest things like this and doing some readings. And I kept looking at my watch and I'm like, guys, it's really 3:30 a.m. So I got to stop saying that so I can get back to normal time. So it's actually 8:33 a.m. on Friday, June 14th. This is when I'm recording this podcast and it will be the same day that it actually is going out because it's been a while and I missed you guys. So let me, I really want to talk about Italy. The only thing that's in the back of my head, like this voice is like, Jen, you haven't really processed it yet. Like, give me some time to process what happened in Italy. But I feel like I want to talk about it. So I'm going to process and integrate my experience at the same time as I'm talking to you. So I might be a little rambly, which is not good for a podcast, but whatever. It's the Singing Medium podcast. That's just how I am. So I'm going to share my experience. And what I want to say first and foremost is that, yeah, it's amazing that I manifested a trip to Italy. I manifested that. I can 100% with confidence say that I manifested that and the universe brought that to me. And I feel like also how I always talk about sending appreciation. And then I can't remember if it's Abraham Hicks who talks about, like, in my first years of studying and after quitting my job and becoming a medium studying, I consumed almost obsessively the first year or so everything about Abraham Hicks. I don't do it anymore, but if that's what I did, try to learn the law of assumption, the law of attraction, all these kind of things. And I remember her saying this one video where she says, if you emit appreciation for 30 days straight, everything that you want will come to you. And that has always stuck with me. So that's why I'm always like, oh, I forgot my appreciation. Then I start doing it again. Like, I'm doing it right now. Oh, it just came out of my heart. Did you feel it? So 30 days of manifesting something. Like I said, there's two ways to manifest things. You go after something, I guess, or it comes to you, or a combination of both. the idea or the inspired action is a manifestation, just letting you know if you don't know that already. But 30 days of appreciation will bring these things to you. And I, as you know, I've been heavily consciously appreciating everything in my life, even when things are crappy, and I'll get into that too. And miracles come in. I wasn't a big believer in miracles. But I'm telling you, miracles exist. And I'm telling you, you have to, I guess I'm starting at the end and going backwards. Well, one of the things that I learned or remembered in when I was in Italy is that the old you must die for the person that you want to become to be birthed. And the, if you want to become someone else, the person who can afford things, has the freedom, whatever the whatever it is, you have to become a different person than you already are. And so I didn't think about it. I was doing hypnosis for about 4 months, and in the hypnosis, it's Anthony Sereno, if you want to follow him on TikTok, I was doing his free hypnosis that was coming into my emails. And the hypnosis is to become the person you know you need to be to have the things that you want. So basically reprogramming your beliefs around money, around worthiness, about who you are, because you have to become the person who believes that they can have those things that they are desiring, which is I am working on or hypnotizing myself to believe that I am worthy of these things, that, you know, money comes to me easily. Like, it, you'll notice little changes. Like, I get free things almost every day, which is what I wouldn't, that would never happen before. People would give me free things every day. And this happened in Italy. Every single day I got something for free without me asking in the universe. It was just an assumption that it was going to happen. And I kept seeing evidence of it. So noticing little things of how the hypnosis worked, but what I didn't expect from doing hypnosis, well, I thought I would just like magically like change the next day to the person who I need to become to believe that I have all the, I can have anything that I want. But it didn't occur to me that the old Jen, I guess we'll just call her the old Jen, which is whatever, the old Jen and the old you has to actually die, not physically die, but you have to energetically die. And this didn't occur to me. And so everything has to be reset. Like, you have to be reset. You have to die so that you can become the new energy of the person who can have all these things and beliefs in these new beliefs. So all the beliefs have to also die. They, like, it's like a tower. You have to crumble. You literally have to crumble on the ground. And I had that moment the other day. It was like, I can't do this anymore. And the universe took so much away from me. And I was trying to understand it the whole time. I'm like, hey, what is happening? Why is nothing? Everything was paused. Like, everything was on pause for 3 weeks when I was in Italy. Everything in my life was paused. And I tried really, really hard to remember to say present. I'm like, okay, in the uncomfortable feelings, I'm just going to be in the pause. I'm going to try to be present and breathe through the emotions and the discomfort and the I want to go home. Those feelings where nothing was happening. My business was paused. Everything just seemed like it was still. Okay. And so the ego immediately goes, holy crap, what am I doing wrong? Right? You go check the astrology, you go check the moon, you go check your energy, you go meditate, you ask, and nothing was working. And it took me 3 weeks or more to understand what was happening. There was a process happening. And I was like believing that the hypnosis wasn't working. And I was getting pissed off. I'm like, everyone says hypnosis works. And I'm like, why isn't it working for me until now? And I'm like, oh, there's a process to it. And I didn't realize. And another thing I saw in meditation when I was in Italy was a phoenix. So a phoenix was shown to me, I guess, of, you know, a phoenix is, you know, it's a beautiful bird that actually literally sets itself on fire, dies and is reborn, becomes something better. And that's the process of alchemy, I guess, of what we're all going through, or most of us are going through if we allow it. And it's so uncomfortable. Everyone's so freaking uncomfortable that they start panicking. They're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And they start, you know, going back to their old ways. But in the process of dying of the phoenix, you have to let go of the old ways. And it can be scary to let go of your old beliefs. You know, like, those were making me feel safe, even though I was like not having a great time with those. They were there for a reason. They served a purpose. And now I can let those go because I'm seeing, I can now I feel like something better is coming for me. But you have to let the old self die, which is a lot to take in, as I learned myself. And I do know from me talking about it to you, will not convince you to do this. I kind of feel like, I guess I don't feel like, I know you have to be ready. You have to be ready to change for sure. And you have to go through a process, and you don't get to say to the universe or your body or your mindset or your subconscious how long that process is going to take. It could take 3 weeks, could be a year, could be 10 months, could be 6 months. That reminds you of the Office scene where they're, do you watch The Office? That was like my, I guess it is my favorite show. I haven't watched it in a while. It is so funny. If you get a chance to watch The Office, I highly recommend like the US version. You watch it. It's when Jim and Dwight are in the lunchroom and they have to take everything out of the fridge because it's going to expire or something like that. And Dwight's eating all these like kind of all these really old olives from a jar or whatever, and eating all the food so it doesn't go bad. And then Jim, his nemesis, is like, you know, Dwight's like, well, how about if there's a apocalypse and there's no food and I've got all the food, you know, like how long do you think that it would take to eat all this food or before I would let you in? Maybe it could be 1 month, could be two, could be 18 months, could be 19 months. Like it's hilarious. So it reminds me of that. So there's a process you have to, the ego, it works on time. I need this to be happening at a certain expectations, but the soul is the opposite of that. The soul is just like having to go, just surrendering. And another good piece of information I got and very vital to this process, to helping me through this whole process, was these words. Okay. So I also heard very clearly, surrender like you've never surrendered before. And I was like, oh my God, I have to surrender. Right. And if you like, okay, I'm surrendering. Okay, guys, look at me, I'm surrendering. But if you're doing that, you're not actually surrendering. Right. So it's a very difficult process, but it's something that needs to be done in order to have this rebirth and this death process of if you want to become a different person or the person who has these things that you want, who believes that they are worthy of them, right? So anyways, off topic, but Italy was, I don't even have a word for it. Like the whole time I'm there, I'm like, I don't even have a word for what is happening here. There's no word to describe. Someone's like, how was your trip in Italy? And I'm like, I don't have any words. So like the human textbook or dictionary, we like to put definitions on things and we have to make them place. So it's like, well, how was your trip? Oh, it was pretty good, or it was terrible, or it was, you know, we have to find these words. But sometimes experiences like this, there's not actually a word that fits to describe it. So I'm not saying it was good and I'm not saying it was horrible. I'm saying it was an experience. I would say almost an unexpected spiritual experience, and it wasn't like I was going to a spiritual retreat. So just as a side note, you don't need to go to a spiritual retreat to have a spiritual experience. You can have a spiritual experience driving your car. Okay. So it doesn't have to look a certain way. And sometimes an experience that you have will change the course of your life. And the best kind of trips are the ones that you have trouble in. So I'm not saying if you go to Jamaica, you're not going to have you lie on at the resort all day, you're not going to have a spiritual experience. However, I feel like many things that occurred there, the people, the land, the history, the magic, the weather, the just everything that I stepped into, I guess, blindly, all those things supported or helped transform the process I was already starting and got me to the end result, I guess, or not the end result, but it got me to an understanding that can never go back. I can never go back to not understanding, I guess, myself, my soul, and for you guys, the process of changing who you are. And I wanted to change who I am for a long time. Just so I can, and there's obviously more work to do, but just stepping into that zone, to that country, that experience of being invited there, is like this higher consciousness knew that I need to be there at this time, because I could have waited till July or October. And I'm like, no, I need to go now. It was last minute, literally last minute. I'm going, and I can't even tell you, like, again, I'm still processing, but I can't, there's no words to describe what happened except that it was a spiritual experience for me. And I wasn't expecting that. And not even in the context that you think, oh, Jen had a spiritual experience. It's not even what you can conjure up or what you have a belief about what a spiritual experience would look like. Right. So there's different variations of a spiritual experience. So another piece of information that Spirit gave to me very, very clearly was start over. And when I say that to you, close your eyes, and I'm going to say those words to you again. And I want you to feel in your body what you feel like when I say that. You ready? Start over. I bet you're like freaking out right now. You're like, Jen, do not tell me to start over. I have done so much work and I have built a business and I have done A, B, C, D, E, F, G, X, Y, Z. I had the same reaction. Spirit clearly said to me, with there have no doubt, start over. So that meant I have to reset my business. I have to reset my finances. I have to take responsibility. This is also for you. You have to reset everything in your life. So it's not just one category. You have to choose to take responsibility for all the crap that you keep putting off for 10 years like I did. You have to get serious about your finances. You have to know what, because I never want to look at my bank account. I was terrified to look at my bank account. I didn't know how much money I had. I would just hope the debit card worked. You know, I had taxes that were came up suddenly that I had to figure out. And it was just like, I want to avoid all of it. But if I want to become the person who has the freedom and the finances to travel all the time and live my dream life, I can't be the person who does that, right? You can't be the person who ignores things. So you have to face the things head on, which is where the growth happens, right? So anything you want to do like meditation and hypnosis and getting a life coach and getting a mentor, these are things that you're going to need to do. So if I think maybe that's what I'm wondering, if that's why people are hesitant to completely commit sometimes to these big experiences with me, is because there's like an underlying soul knowing like, oh, this is going to be bigger than I think it is because I'm going to have to change myself. So it's funny because I've been learning a lot. And sometimes I wonder if like, well, people don't want to spend money. Maybe it's not that it's not a priority. Maybe it's actually because they're afraid of the transformation, right? So the other day I had this inspired idea to talk about, go back to my kindergarten roots about the process of metamorphosis. So the caterpillar to the butterfly. And as you guys know, I was a kindergarten teacher and I had a whole unit or a whole week on caterpillars. And so in those units, I would read The Hungry Caterpillar, and there's one little video I would show them called the Pollywog and the Butterfly, Caterpillar and the Pollywog, something like that. But it's a cute little, from the 80s, little video I would show them, right? And it's the process of how the caterpillar turns into the butterfly. And what I was sharing in that post, and you can go join my Facebook group, Elevate Her Soul by Jen Abra. I would love to let you in there if you're not already in there. About how if you, let's just say you're a caterpillar. Okay, so we're keeping things simple. We're not getting all spiritual on us. If you're a caterpillar and the caterpillar organically and naturally, that's what the caterpillar is going to do. That's its destiny. I'm going to become a butterfly, but it doesn't really know this. So it starts getting hungry. Okay, I'm going to eat lots of leaves, and then it starts getting sleepy. And then I'm going to make this little cocoon. And it's all gooey in there. And I'm going to have to rest for a bit. I'm going to have to stay here for a while. I'm going to have to sleep so I can grow and morph and change so that one day when the nature says I'm allowed to come out again, I'm going to transform. I'm being transformed in here, and I'm going to become this most beautiful something else. Like in that little cartoon, it's like, one day I'm going to be something else. And the tadpole's like, oh, that's cool, whatever, right? And it's like the whole process, you have to stay there. You have to stay in that cocoon. And what happens is if you use that as an analogy for your own transformation, we're like, okay, I want to change. I want to transform myself. I want to do all these things. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to become someone else. I'm going to get rid of these beliefs. I'm going to change my beliefs and have better beliefs. And you get in the cocoon and the nature's like, okay, well, you got to sleep now for a couple of weeks. You're like, no fucking way. I got to hustle out of here. And if you get in there, if you were the caterpillar and you did that, you would die. Like if you got out too early of the cocoon, you would never become the butterfly. Right? So it's a process. It's a natural nature, organic process. Like if you want to compare, we are the caterpillar. And that's kind of what life is about, right? So in that trip in Italy for 3 weeks, what I realized now is that, and I kind of had an inkling then, is that I was in the cocoon, right? And it's funny because if the caterpillar's in the cocoon, maybe this big snake comes and tries to eat the cocoon, or, you know, maybe, I don't know, a fucking alligator comes and tries to eat it, or something comes, attack it. And that's kind of what happened to me in a sense, right? So I had to make that, cocoon harder and protection. But also when I'm in the cocoon, I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Like, I feel like there's a big process happening here and I don't know what to do. And I'm just going to be present in this cocoon because maybe one day when nature says I'm ready, I'm going to become this transformative other person. I'm going to draw my wings. I'm going to fly away. I'm going to be freedom, you know? So it's interesting. Like, sometimes we make things very complicated, as you know. In the spiritual community, we make things very complicated and we incorporate words like divine, blah, 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 and these kind of things. Sometimes you just have to get fucking real and be like, let's go back to kindergarten, okay? So when start over, those words came to me, it's like, go back to kindergarten. Go back to, you have to start over. You have to go through the process of metamorphosis, and it's painful. I don't know what happened, how a caterpillar feels when it's going through, but it probably can't be not painful. You're literally like wiggling in there. You're like literally shedding skin and you're like becoming literally a different kind of creature. Okay. Like that's, if you think about that, that's insane. And so imagine there's got to be some pain in there. It can't just be like, oh, tickly. Oh, that tickles. Ha ha ha. Now I'm a butterfly. No, I don't think so. So that's the same thing with humans, is that we have to allow this to happen as well. Okay. Now let me get my thoughts together here and choose some examples or like share some experiences with you. So I'm going to start with the small town that we stayed in. And I'm going to actually have Leanna. She is the host of experiences called The Art of Italian Cooking and Day of Soul and something else, I think. I'm actually going to have her on the podcast. We were in the car and I leaned up. She's driving and I'm like, middle of nowhere. I'm like, grabbed her shoulder. I'm like, you need to be on the podcast and we need to talk about this shit. So watch for the episode coming up. I'm going to have her as a guest to help me explain sort of in more detail. This is just my perspective of what happened and my experience, my personal experience and the spiritual side of it. And then we'll have her on and we'll share the rest of it. But it started with the land, the town. So we, I was like, where are you going? I'm like, Abruzzo. I don't even know what Abruzzo is. I guess it's the region. It's like a province, but it's the region. So there's little tiny towns embedded in the mountain. So there's Cerchio, which is where we stayed. Then there's Celano, like 5 minutes away. Then there's Avezzano, which is a town that has grocery stores, like maybe 20 minutes away. And then Rome is like an hour and a bit away from where we were. We went to Amalfi Coast, which is like a 3 hour drive. We went to Positano. So it's kind of like in the middle somewhere. You do have to drive to go places. It's literally the, so if I use an example of how I would describe Cerchio, how would I describe Cerchio? The little tiniest Italian, 1,500 people maybe or more. I don't know how many people live there. In this little tiny town in the middle of nowhere on the mountain. And they've all lived there their whole lives. So what I compare it to is, because I'm from Orangeville and Shelburne, as I compare it to like the Dundalk of Ontario, but of Italy. And so there's nothing to do there, which we don't know. I had no idea you can't do much there, which is fine. I'm all about chilling out. If I'm on a holiday or a vacation or I'm invited somewhere, I'm all about the chilling out. I'm okay with that. But there's nothing to do there. But it's so interesting because that is false. Like, humanly, there's not, activity-wise, there's not a lot to do there. I'm not saying we didn't do a lot. We did something every day, pretty much. But the land, that magic, I'm telling you, that place has magic. And that's my dog barking. One second. The magic of the land is unbelievable. The history of not even what happened like in the wars or whatever, none of that. I'm going back to like mythology time and goddess time and Neptune and the goddess of the sun. That is in the land. Medusa, I forget what her name is, Angitia. These goddesses exist, their energy exists in this land. Okay. So again, when Leanna's on here, she can explain it way better than me, but I can't describe the magical quality that this place had. Okay. And no offense to anyone listening who has been to this retreat or this experience with me. It also has a depressive energy. There's a little bit of depression in this land too, based upon the history of what occurred there, right? So there's a you can get a little, if you allow this, the depression energy of the land or the town to take you over, you could go a really bad way. So learning how to control your own emotions and learning how to separate your energy from the energy of that is something also that everyone needs to discover and experience and learn, right? Real life experience is going to teach you more than in a classroom, as you know. Okay. And so this land was just, so then, you know, the people that came, it was all constructed by spirit. Everything that happened, the people that came there, the lessons you need to learn, the things that happened, unbelievable. The people that I met, like, I can't even. They all taught me something, right? They taught me that not everything is need to take personal. So the way someone reacts to you or what they think of you or how they treat you has nothing to do with you. It's them, right? The people were beautiful there. We met like so many amazing people. Even the people that I met was like divinely connected. You know, I feel like there's people from my past life that were there. There's connections to the goddesses in the past life with the goddesses. There's like, I tapped into the Akashic records. There's the history, the Akashic records, like the castles, the Templars, the demon symbolism in the churches. I don't know, like the amount of churches we went to were insane, but every church had a different vibration to it. And some of them, I had no idea that there was like things hidden in the church. And I'll get to that later. And then also I actually had a chance to go to the Vatican. Now this can be controversial, but I'm telling you, I was a little bit worried about going to the Vatican because I know all of the, what's the word I'm looking for? The Illuminati things associated with the Pope and the Vatican. And I didn't know, did you know the Vatican is its own city or its own country? I had no idea, but we went there and I was so worried. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to hate this. Like, this is going to be horrible energy. But when you get there, the Vatican has eyes. I know I'm jumping here, but I'm telling you, the Vatican has eyes and they're looking at like Illuminati eyes. And I come from a Catholic background. My uncle is the Bishop of Calgary, okay? My grandparents were the most Catholic, devout Catholics you ever met. There's crucifixes in their house. I get it. I understand the Catholic religion. I was part of it my whole life. And then I get there and I thought I was going to be like bad. And I know there's things that go on behind the scenes, but we just happened to go on a Sunday morning and the Pope just ended up coming to the window and doing a little blessing on everyone. It was pouring rain on our heads, but we stood in the rain and I cannot tell you, my arm hair stood up in a way that has never stood up before. This indescribable feeling, what I felt at the Vatican, despite all the bad stuff, the demonic shit, the whatever the popes do and the nasty stuff, whatever, there is an element to faith there that is unwavering that you cannot argue with. And again, this might be a little bit off tangent here, but they're one of the things of the New World Order is that they want to have a one world religion and they want to remove, you know, all these religions and just have one religion. When I was there, good luck with that. That will never happen. That will never happen in my feeling, because the people that were there, faith that they had, that belief that was so deep in their own religious beliefs and God and the good luck with that. There's going to be a revolt. You are hearing me say this on here. This is the proof that there's going to be a massive revolt when they tried to pull this crap. It was just unbelievable. Like, I can't even describe it right now. And I wish I could bottle that feeling and give it to you. But if you ever get a chance to go to Rome, I did not want to leave Rome, which is surprising to me. It surprised me a lot. I thought maybe I'd have a hard time in Rome. We didn't get very much time in Rome, which I would have loved to have more time. So I might go back on my own maybe, or bring my mom or my kids, something. But the short time that I was there, indescribable, magical. I didn't want to leave. They even had a Starbucks there, which is very exciting for me. No Tim Hortons though, but that's okay. Everything was I just wanted to stay there forever. Just stay there. I don't know. I never saw myself going to Rome. I never like, I need to go to Rome. Nope. oh my God, like travel is huge. Travel, if you are not traveling because you have a belief that, oh, I don't want to spend the money on traveling, or I don't need to see the world, I can just stay in my little town. I'm telling you, you're missing out. You are missing out, my friend. You have to, it's like Chad. Chad doesn't want to go see the world, but like I got him finally last year to Costa Rica and now he wants to move there. It's like that. You don't know what you're missing or like what are the possibilities for you in your life and in your limitlessness is if you go to a different country and you have to, you know, converse with someone who only speaks Italian. And they only speak Italian. So Google Translate was my friend, but just you, it's again, I can't tell you what to do, but I'm telling you, if you get a chance to travel, you gotta go. You've got to experience this. This is life changing. It changes. I believe travel changes who you are. I really do. I believe travel changes who you are as a person, and it fills your soul. And I also recommend it, even though I didn't do it this time, I recommend going somewhere by yourself. Because then you really got to figure shit out on your own, right? It gives you that independence. It gives you that feeling of power. You know, you have to speak a different language. You got to figure shit out. You got to get yourself places and it just, yeah. But anyways, I know you're going to be disappointed right now, but I'm going to leave it here. I know it's short. And I promise I'll come back with more experiences about Italy. But I feel like Spirit's like, okay, let's stop this right now and do a part two. We're going to do a part two. I'm actually feeling from the airplane, everyone was coughing. I'm noticing that everyone was coughing. And I'm like, oh, please don't tell me this is coming back. Like, I can't handle this again. But I'm feeling it in my chest a little bit. And I am still a little bit jet lagged. So I appreciate you listening to this episode and waiting for the next one to come. I love that you guys come back to the Singing Medium podcast. If I met you at the Woman Circle, I want to say hi to you. You guys were amazing. You guys were unbelievable. That Woman Circle, if you ever get a chance to go to the Women's Wellness Circle in Innisfil with Debbie, oh, you got to go. Unbelievable. I've only been there as a speaker a few times, but I would love to go as a participant sometimes. So if you get a chance to go, I highly recommend that. Thank you so much for listening to this short episode of my Italy experience, and we'll see you all next time on the Singing Medium podcast.